I'm Leslie Aiello. I'm president of the Venner Gren Foundation for Anthropological Research. I have Joel Robbins with me today. He's professor of anthropology at University of California, San Diego, and he's currently a visiting professor at the University of Helsinki. He's also co-editor of the Journal of Anthropological Theory and editor of the University of California Press book series, The Anthropology of Christianity. Joel was the organizer for our recent symposium on the anthropology of Christianity, Unity, Diversity, and New Directions. This was held in March in Sintra, Portugal. I have a few questions to ask Joel about the symposium and everything that we got out of it. The first question is basically, what were your reasons for wanting to organize the symposium? The organization is a lot of work, and it's something we don't take on lightly. Particularly, why was this an opportune time for such a meeting on the anthropology of Christianity? Yeah. Joel.
Thanks, Leslie. Yeah, that's a terrific question to start with. This symposium comes at a really critical time, I think, in the anthropology of Christianity, and so the timing was, in fact, very important. The anthropology of Christianity as a collective endeavor, as a sort of self-conscious research program, is only about 15 years old. And so what you're seeing now is the maturation of the first generation of students who trained when it was already an up-and-running way of doing anthropology, and then you're also seeing the people who've been working on it since the beginning over the last 15 years kind of coming into the senior parts of their career, often on their second or third research project in this area of studying Christianity. So it seemed like the time was right for a very general stocktaking, both of how the initial development of this field had gone, and also how intellectually it had managed what has been a very, very rapid growth. It went from being a concern of really only a handful of people to being a very many, many people now participate. So this seemed like a crucial moment in which to take stock of where the anthropology of Christianity had gone, but even more importantly, the places that it could go. And can I add one other thing to that?
Of course. Quickly
is that one thing that was probably bubbling under when the anthropology of Christianity was born, and we talked at the conference quite a bit about whether it may have played a role in the formation of it, but in any case, what's clearly true now is the importance of religion in public life all over the world, and in particular, the importance of Christianity in public life in so many parts of the world now. So there's also a sort of topicality to the issue of studying Christianity as a social force and as a part of cultural life that's very timely as well.
Well, that's great. It leads right into my next question.
Oh, okay.
Of what the major trends in the anthropology of Christianity are now and how these sort of governed your choice of the participants in the symposium.
Thanks. One of the interesting things in putting this together was there are some trends that started early on, 10 years ago, maybe a little bit more, that are still very, very important. And we address some of these things, like the way Christianity affects people's ideas about and use of language. That's turned out to be an enormously important part of the field that one might not have expected when it got started, but that's how it's been. There has been a lot of emphasis on issues of change and conversion all the way along, and they continue to be important. And then, thirdly, there's been a lot of interest in the anthropology of Christianity on religious experience. Many forms of Christianity pay a lot of attention to what the experience of God or the sacred is like, and that's been a focus also. All of those are themes that have carried forward, but I was, in organizing this, I self-consciously wanted to represent those but not over-represent them, and to look at emerging themes that I think are going to be important for the future. And we were able to do that, I think, very successfully. So some of these emerging themes, for example, have been to consider the nature of Christian institutions. The early anthropology of Christianity had somewhat ignored how churches are organized, what Christianity is like as a form of social organization. So we paid a lot of attention to that. And that includes not only the building of churches, but things like schism, how churches break up, how those kinds of social movements that break apart churches also sometimes fund political kinds of movements at the same time. So we spent a lot of time on that. We spent a good deal of time looking at Christian ideas about space. The early anthropology of Christianity had been dominated by looking at Christian ideas about time, which are very important in thinking about how Christianity has been a very effective way for people to foster very rapid cultural change in this period of globalization, topics like that. But we had ignored space relatively. And so we spent a good deal of time looking at how Christians organize space and what that can tell us about religious uses of space more generally and human uses of space more generally. And then finally, and perhaps surprisingly, there had been very little work in the anthropology of Christianity focused on gender. This may reflect the time that it developed. In fact, some of the early work on Pentecostalism that was going on before the anthropology of Christianity had really emerged was focused on issues of gender, particularly in Latin America, but it never became focal in the early anthropology of Christianity. So this is another emerging trend that was well represented at the conference and that looks like it has strong future possibilities.
Fantastic. Now, a considerable amount of planning goes into the Wegener Grand Symposium. In fact, this is one of the hallmarks of the symposia that we organize. And I wanted to ask you, how important do you think this is, and how important the week-long intensive discussion format is?
I think this is going to sound like an advertisement for the format, but I'm afraid that's how I found. I'm going to tell you how I found it, which was that it was extraordinarily helpful. And I think there are a few. Let me talk about the format first, and then the planning. The format, which is a week-long conference, which is very generous both in terms of time at the conference table, which is 2 3-hour blocks a day, but also in terms of downtime, which is 3 hours in between those 2 3-hour blocks, where I over and over again you would find that people would go away and work out ideas and come back with them for the next session. They'd go away and have conversations and come and report on them. I think the generosity of the time involved is really important. And part of the importance is, and we talked about this at the conference, is that at least social cultural anthropologists often spend the first couple of days at a conference taking apart whatever it is they're supposed to focus on, deciding that, well, where I work, it Christianity is one thing, and where you work, it's another thing, and where that person works, it's a third thing. So maybe there is no such thing as Christianity, and maybe we should each just go about doing what we're doing. That's slightly a caricature, but in fact, part of the comparative emphasis of anthropology and part of its critical intellectual mission often takes apart objects of study and objects of conversation. We spent about the first day and a half doing that as well, but it was after that, after we moved through that moment, that things took off in all kinds of new directions. There's a sense in which just when a normal conference would be wrapping up and everybody would decide that they were happy with what they'd done before and they were going to keep doing it, we were able to enter into new territory. So I think that the time is crucial because you build up a head of steam to work in new directions. Very quickly, I'm also going to mention the planning, which I think is also really critical. There's a couple of opportunities before the conference takes off to work with you here and with Lori, and planning the conference and setting out the topics and thinking about the flow of different topics. And I think that's really critical, because if you bring this many people together, what was it, 17, 18 active participants for that amount of time, you need some choreography to keep things moving. And at least in this case, I ended up feeling like all the upfront work paid off because things did keep moving and they never really flagged. So I think the planning is critical, and then having that much time is very important.
I should also say that this was the 147th symposium that the foundations organized. The first one was held in 1959. And so this format of having 5 intensive discussion days and 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours in the afternoon with a 3-hour break, is something that's developed over this long expanse of years as a format that really tends to produce the goods.
Yeah, it's a well-oiled. I mean, it's a well-oiled machine, and it was. It was really a pleasure to watch it work, to watch it unfold.
Well, speaking of producing the goods,
yes.
What do you think were the major advances that were achieved during the symposium? I know that the final papers haven't been submitted yet, but from the intensive discussions, we have some idea of the way things moved and it developed.
Yeah, I think that... there were quite a few, so I'm just going to pick out the ones that are freshest in my mind, and they're going to be the ones that I hadn't seen coming, so I'm not going to do justice to all the ones I would have expected. One of the things that emerged completely spontaneously as the papers came in and then in our discussions was how important it's going to be for the Anthropology of Christianity and probably the Anthropology of Religion in general to learn how to study and talk about and make theoretical advances around people who aren't full-time members of any religion. People who dip in and out of one religion or who practice only sporadically, they tend to be ignored in certainly in the anthropology of religion, where if you're interested in religion, you look for the most religiously committed people you can find and you study them. We ended up having a lot of discussions about people at the margins of Christianity who were not the most fully engaged with it, but who are nonetheless very important to the religion and, of course, play important roles in their own societies. And so that was a theme that I hadn't seen coming that I think is really going to be important for future work, and a number of the papers address that in very interesting and creative ways. Another major discovery I think was that we can, in fact, we have the knowledge, we have the intellectual resources to have a sustained discussion on Christian social organization. Mm-hmm. This was this issue of institutions I mentioned before. There has been a strain of criticism of the anthropology of Christianity, in many respects pretty well founded, that it's been largely an endeavor of what might be called cultural anthropology. It's largely looked at religious representations, ritual, normative ideas. It has looked less at the sort of nitty-gritty social reality of Christian social structures. We discovered that we do have a lot to bring to that discussion and that we have a lot of knowledge, and the papers addressing that were very sophisticated. So I think that is a trend looking toward the future. The discussion of gender moved in a very interesting way, in that the two papers on gender turned out, only one would probably, of the authors would use this term, but the discussions turned out to be very much about cosmology, about cosmological ideas of gender difference, not just about, say, men's and women's roles or men's and women's participation, but about how built into Christianity itself were certain ideas about male and female, how they were different, how they could combine. I think that pushed the whole conversation in a direction of a kind of cosmological interest that would open up new avenues in the cultural side that I said was already strong but had been focusing on issues like language, change, time, and hadn't paid attention perhaps as much as it could have to macro cosmological kinds of ideas. So that was another great surprise that looks very promising for the future. I could go on, but I think I'll leave it there.
Okay. One final question.
Yeah.
Is in the Venegrin Symposia, we value downtime as well as discussion time on the table. And I wanted to ask you what some of the most memorable moments for you were.
During the downtime?
Well,
or anytime
really, okay. But don't ignore the downtime.
Okay. One thing I should say about the downtime is on the day off we went to Fatima, and that was pretty spectacular and also a tremendous reminder of the scale of Christian life. Anybody who hasn't been there, I now highly recommend it. One of the memorable moments for me, and this is around the conference table, in fact, and it's going to relate back to what I just said about gender, was at a certain point, A comparison began between the historical development of feminist anthropology and the development of the anthropology of Christianity. The argument was that at first feminist anthropology was largely involved saying, wait, there are women in these societies, they need to be studied, in the same way that early studies of Christianity kind of just point out, hey, these people are also Christian, we probably should look at that too. And then how they developed in various ways, that ended up being a sustained comparison. I found that fascinating. I didn't see that coming, and that was pretty memorable for me. One thing I thought was terrific, and I really saw this in the downtime, we had a real mix of junior and senior scholars. I imagine that's fairly common at these, because we work together. I mean, part of the planning process is we're... The amount of interaction between junior and senior people who didn't know each other well or maybe at all before this was striking. Often you would see people going off and walking in groups where you knew that the people had probably never spent any time before. I know that the junior people felt immensely supported by the senior people, but I also think the senior people felt that they got a lot out of that interaction too. So I remember lots of those kinds of groupings where I found myself at a table with all younger scholars I didn't know well. I found those kinds of things very memorable. But we did this breakout group stuff. I don't know if that's a standard part of the planning or not.
Something that's becoming more standard.
Those, my own breakout group was very memorable and funny. That it was, we'd been talking for 4 days by then, so it was a very freewheeling discussion. And people really took risks. People admitted, you know, this is as far as I can get with this argument, and I'm stuck, and if anybody can help me. But I noticed that people came back from those generally on a high. There'd been a lot of brainstorming and a lot of ideas. So I remember that afternoon. So we spend an hour and a half in the breakout group, and we come together as a particularly kind of high-energy moment, even though no one was completely confident in their conclusions. Everyone was pretty excited. So those are some of the moments I remember most.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
It was certainly an extremely interesting week. And the papers from this, the outputs, are going to be published in an open access issue of Current Anthropology that'll come out sometime next year. And Joel's going to be writing an in-depth introduction to this. So please, you know, stay tuned and look up the online issue of Current Anthropology and continue to follow the exciting developments in the anthropology of Christianity. So, Joel, thank you very much for the interview.
Well, thank you.